Welcome to Bud Buds, the podcast that takes you into the endurant realm of invasive plants and their seasonal changes, and what you might be witnessing out your window or in the woods in Vermont. I'm Elizabeth, a scientist for the Vermont Department of Forest Parks and Recreation. I'm joined today, as usual, by my co-host and bud, Lena.
Hello, I'm Lena, a natural resource steward for the Vermont Department of Forest Parks and Recreation. Elizabeth, have you checked out the news recently? In regard to invasive species, of course.
I did. I heard that in August, and it's 2021, by the way, just for listeners in the future. A new invasive insect, spotted lanternfly, was detected for the first time in Vermont.
That's right. It's pretty bad news. But I thought it was interesting that the detection only happened because one of our fellow Vermonters, who thought they may have recognized the invasive pest, captured it and brought it to our colleagues for identification.
Remarkable effort. We really do count on all Vermonters to keep an eye out across the state and help spread the word.
And not the plant. Or, in this case, the insect. And our Forest, Parks, and Recreation colleagues, along with the staff at the Agency of Agriculture, Food, and Markets, have done a great job of collecting all detected insects, treating the shipping material the bugs came in on, and surveying for more around the detection site.
Sounds like a lot of work.
I bet it was.
Speaking of a lot of work, when the news talked about the impact that spotted lanternfly could have on Vermont, such as damage to important Vermont crops like apples, maple, hops, and grapes, did you catch what other plants it liked?
Ooh, let's see. I remember walnut, oak. Gosh, I think they said something like over 70 species. That little insect really can eat.
That's true. Let me narrow it down a little. It was an invasive plant, an invasive tree.
Oh, yeah. The invasive tree of heaven. This one I'm not super familiar with.
It's not one many Vermonters will be familiar with, so you are in good company. While spotted lanternfly will happily feed on any of those 70 species, tree of heaven, an invasive plant, is actually its preferred host plant.
A host plant? You mean like how milkweeds are so important to monarch butterflies?
Exactly. A host plant is a plant that another organism relies on primarily to survive, for shelter or food.
Okay, so tree of heaven has this deep connection to spotted lanternfly, which sounds problematic enough, but you're telling me that it's invasive too?
Yeah. Like many species from all over the world that have come to be invasive in Vermont, it grows fast, is resistant to pollution, can grow just about anywhere. We'll include some photos of it in the show notes growing out the side of a building.
The side of a building? Are you serious?
No lie.
That's bananas. But Tree of Heaven stinks. Like, its flowers and crushed leaves smell sort of skunk-like and rotten. To me, that would make it a hard trait to get over and to make planting this tree seem worthwhile.
Agreed. And I don't think the full ramifications of the mass planting and spread of this tree were understood when it was introduced and popularized. It's now growing in cities, yards, and spreading to forests across the U.S. But like I said, it's rare to find in Vermont.
I mean, that's good, I guess. In places where it's abundant, scientists and land managers alike are seeing the negative impacts that this plant has on forest succession and regeneration. It grows into disturbed areas and quickly outcompetes the next generation of locally evolved trees. That wasn't the case where Tree of Heaven and Spotted Lanternfly originally evolved together in China, where they had a good co-evolved thing going as part of a bigger ecosystem. How did they get to Vermont anyway?
Well, Spotted Lanternfly was introduced fairly recently. I believe it first appeared in Pennsylvania in 2014. Tree of Heaven, however, was brought here in the 1700s as an ornamental plant popular for urban settings.
Yeah, I've seen them growing in cities on the West Coast, and I know it grows here on the East Coast too. In fact, the tree from Betty Smith's book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, which symbolizes the enduring perseverance of so many people who immigrated to the U.S., is a tree of heaven.
And that endurance is relatable. So many in our communities have personal or family stories of hardship and perseverance. And I think it's important that we remember the lived experiences of our families and neighbors when we talk about invasive species. It is hard for humans to separate out those emotional connections and to be objective without seeming cold or heartless.
It's definitely easy to understand wanting to bring something beautiful from home if you're moving far away. And so many plants that are invasive in this area arrived just like that.
So when we talk about invasive species, let's be sure to focus on the impact they can cause. And recall that these are just plants or insects growing and being plants or insects, and they got to where they are because they were transported by humans.
And that these plants and insects are not inherently bad or evil, but just a lasting reminder of humankind's ability to make mistakes.
And we're all just people doing our best. We're all learning and growing and working to protect the things we value today, like the biodiversity that evolved in Vermont.
That is some deep stuff.
Yeah. Always good to be willing to keep learning.
Speaking of learning, I'd also like to know more about this spotted lanternfly. The impact it has and its relationship with the Tree of Heaven seem complicated, and it might be good to have an expert on to talk with us about this.
Good thing we called in our friend and scientist for the Vermont Department of Forest, Parks, and Recreation, Savannah Ferreira. Savannah, welcome to the podcast. You are officially our first guest.
Thanks for having me on to speak about invasive insects.
Welcome, Savannah. Now, you've got to know, we're bud buds here, and we generally talk about plants. Can you help us get the scoop on this new invasive insect? The adults look like a really fancy butterfly, and between you and me, I think it's really beautiful. We'll definitely have pictures on the show notes.
Absolutely. So spotted lanternfly looks the part of a butterfly, but it's actually a plant hopper, despite what its name and beautiful wings may imply.
A plant hopper? What does that mean?
Plant hoppers move mostly by hopping, although they can walk slowly and sometimes fly in adult stages. Both plant hopper adults and nymphs, known as immature stages, feed by sucking phloem or sap from the host plants.
Fascinating. So we talked about how it was introduced from China, but it also evolved in India and Vietnam. How did it get to North America?
It's believed to have arrived on a shipment of stones from Asia to a company based in Berks County, Pennsylvania.
Wow, that is so specific. It always amazes me that we can trace first arrivals so precisely. Anyway, what makes this insect invasive?
To get to that, can we talk about its biology a little bit?
Totally.
Okay, the spotted lanternfly lives its whole life in 1 year, which means it hatches, mates, lay eggs, which actually overwinter, and die within that time frame.
No time for regrets with a lifespan that short.
Yeah, that's fast and furious.
And that ferocity ties into its invasive nature. It feeds on an array of plants, both herbaceous and woody. And although Tree of Heaven is a preferred host, new research is actually proving that spotted lanternfly can spread, grow, and complete its life cycle absent of the Tree of Heaven.
Full stop. What?
I know. This is a relatively new invasive insect, so information is being updated and added all the time.
So, Tree of Heaven is preferred, but not necessary for spotted lanternfly. That is no bueno for Vermont. I had hoped our lack of Tree of Heaven might help keep it at bay.
Or maybe even just our cold Vermont winters?
I know there are days when those have me California dreaming.
Actually, you're right about the cold, at least for the adult. Adult spotted lanternflies are not very cold tolerant, but unfortunately, those egg masses are.
Uh-oh.
Which means that every spring, we get a new generation of voracious crop-hopping insects that feast on over 70 species of plants, some of which are integral to the spirit and economy of Vermont. And it gets more complicated because we don't know how the collective effects of climate change, like warming winters, are going to affect the spread of spotted lanternfly in the future.
Okay, that's tough to hear, but it's good to know. Thank you so much for being so candid with us, Savannah. That honesty makes it much easier to prepare for what may be coming. Speaking of which, what can Vermonters do to help prepare for spotted lanternfly?
Well, an important first step is helping our communities recognize the signs and symptoms of a spotted lanternfly infestation.
To help prevent further spread?
You got it. For this to be successful, early detection is critical. If you or your neighbor know how to identify egg masses and the other life stages, we can all more effectively slow the spread.
We'll put pictures of every life stage in the show notes, plus links to other resources so you can get confident in IDing this insect.
What are some other concrete actions that we can all take?
Well, we're trying to prevent it from spreading more. Currently, there is no known infestation in Vermont, but if you travel through other parts of New England or the Mid-Atlantic region, you should be on the lookout. Take the time to inspect things that spend time outside and get moved around. Vehicles, recreation gear like bikes, boats, kayaks, including the paddles, and trailers, for these could have egg masses or even hatched insects in and on them. Even a brief park day or overnight stop could be long enough for an adult spotted lanternfly to lay eggs or to catch a ride themselves.
Whoa.
Yeah. The good news is that we do have science on our side, understanding the growth stages and behavior of these insects.
You mean the phenology of the insect?
Right. Understanding the phenology of these insects can help us monitor and manage spotted lanternfly outbreaks. For example, we've set up spotted lanternfly traps around the detection site in Vermont to monitor the site and ensure no infestation has developed.
And even more reason to learn about phenology and all that it can teach us about the world around us. Amazing! Savannah, thank you so much for your time. Before we let you get back to the lab to keep doing amazing scientific work protecting our forests, what are some take-home messages for our listeners?
Be vigilant. Try to stay up on the new invasive species being detected, and vtinvasives.org is a great place to start. Be mindful. If you know that you've traveled through a state with spotted lanternfly infestations, check your vehicle and personal items. Think tents, grills, that giant Yeti cooler on your tow hitch. For hitchhikers, it could be an egg mass or even a nymph or adult stage catching a ride back to Vermont. And lastly, report what you see. If you think you've seen a spotted lanternfly, please report it to state officials or through vtinvasives.org, and make sure to try to get a photo.
That's great. Thanks so much, Savannah. We'll make sure to have links to all things spotted lanternfly and to the report it tool in our show notes.
That was awesome. After Savannah's discussion and the photos that we'll post in the notes, I'm pretty sure I've got a good feel for spotted lanternfly. But Elizabeth, you know plants are way more my jam. So given that correct ID is so critical for management, do you have any advice for how someone would know if they were looking at a tree of heaven?
Great question, Lena. Let's start with some broader characteristics. It's a tree, so it can be quite tall, upwards of 80 feet for really tall ones. But an average mature tree is about 60 feet tall, with a canopy branching out 35 to 50 feet wide.
You know I don't have a ruler that long.
Good point. It's about as tall as a bowling alley lane is long. But if that's still not a useful measurement, we can also look at the leaves. They are compound leaves with upwards of 41 leaflets per leaf, and each of those leaflets have a smooth margin, but at the base of each leaflet are bumps visible on the underside of that leaflet, which are glands that produce that foul smell when crushed.
And that smell is even more prevalent on male flowers on male trees. That's right. Tree of Heaven has separate male and female trees.
And that's our fancy science word for the episode, dioecious, when an organism has separate male and female individuals.
Cool. Okay, but are there any popular lookalikes? I feel like Tree of Heaven sounds an awful lot like sumac.
Sumac, ash, walnut, butternut? These for sure are all close lookalikes. We'll include some resources on how exactly to tell them apart, but looking for large numbers of smooth margin leaflets and those glands is a shoo-in for Tree of Heaven. The glands would be absent from any potential lookalikes.
So, if you find a Tree of Heaven or a spotted lanternfly, please let us know. They're both early detection species in Vermont. You can use the same report it tool for each one, and we'll make sure to include that link.
That's right, Lena. Each of us can play a role in helping to slow the spread of invasive spotted lanternfly and invasive Tree of Heaven.
And of course, if you see any other invasive plants or have a topic you'd like us to address, please let us know about that too.
Until then, we'd like to acknowledge the financial and technical support provided by the USDA Forest Service, Northeastern Area State and Private Forestry, that enables us to run projects and provide outreach such as this.
And our major project partner, the National Phenology Network, bringing together community members, scientists, managers, and educators to advance the science of phenology.
And most importantly, thanks to you, our listeners, for being interested in the science of phenology, of plants and insects, and being willing to
learn, get involved, and make a difference.